The first reading today can be found on page 1094 of your church Bibles. It's from the book of Acts, reading the last bit of chapter 2. So starting at verse 42, page 1094. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Helen. So if you can keep that passage open and find that next section on the booklets. And actually, we didn't put today's picture up. And today's image is, so we are God's family from last week. So we meet together, and we're going to think about what it means when we meet together and why it's important to meet together. Jesus makes us into a family belonging to God, so we meet together. And those are the extra bits of the picture. So what should our church family look like? I wonder what your family is like. I have a fairly large, close family on my mum's side, which is the English. We've got an exceptionally large family on the Egyptian side, but that's mostly in Egypt. Helen's side of the family is somewhat smaller and haven't stayed quite so much in touch. So when we had our wedding photos, it was quite difficult to balance those when you get it, all those things going on. And I guess depending on your experience of your family, the whole idea of church as family might fill you with dread. Maybe you think of the last big family gathering you had. Some cousins you get on with, others you find a bit more awkward. All those maybe disputes that have rattled around beforehand, or family secrets, that embarrassing uncle or aunt or teenage nephew. Family can be hard work sometimes. But the church family, described here in Acts chapter 2, as they started to gather properly, is totally different. And we're going to pick out five things from these verses that make the church family so distinct. First of all, we learn God's ways together. Verse 42, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we can do that today because the apostles' teaching is recorded for us in the Bible. But are we devoted like that? As we listen to the Bible being explained on Sundays, as we discuss it afterwards or through the week, we should come to it expectantly. As God's family, we should be keen to learn from our Father. We learn God's ways together, and we can help each other with that. We remember Christ's death together. Continuing in verse 42, they broke bread. It's kind of a shorthand for what we now know as the communion service, where we symbolically, we eat bread and we drink wine and we remember Jesus' body and his blood. It's not an out-of-date church tradition. It's actually fairly fundamental to who we are as a church family. Jesus commanded us to do it. When he ate that last supper with his disciples, he said, do this and remember me. Communion is an act of remembrance, as we know, as we look back to what Jesus did on the cross, his body and his blood broken and poured out for us. It's also about looking forward to our own future in heaven. Jesus said, I look forward to eating this meal in heaven with you. And it also involves looking around us, remembering that Christ's death has made us into a family, the community at communion. You can't take communion on your own. If I ran a communion service and only one person turned up, it wouldn't be a communion service by the law of the church, because communion is something that we do together. Jesus died for each one of our Christian brothers and sisters, and we're joined to them. So we certainly shouldn't think of ourselves as better than anyone else in the church, better Christians. Communion keeps us humble and trusting as we remember Christ's death together. So we learn God's ways together, we remember Christ's death together. When we meet, we pray together. Verse 42 there in Acts 2 ends with the church being devoted to prayer. And as a family, we all share the same Father God, so our prayer is directed not to a random God or spirit out there, but to our Father. That's why, do you remember, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, pray our, plural, Father. He is the one who we talk to. So here at White Waltham, we have a number of opportunities. We pray together during Sunday services. We pray together in our midweek groups. They are prayer request forms. I haven't flagged these for a while, but they're prayer request forms at the back. If that's your preferred way, just kind of write something down, maybe mostly for visitors and people who don't know us so much. We also have a regular prayer meeting. More recently, this has been on Zoom, praying through people in our congregation. Praying together can feel uncomfortable at first. So when we have a prayer meeting or a prayer event, do think about coming along and just praying silently, just listening to what other people are praying, maybe joining in with an amen. It would be lovely to see you. And recently we've brought our monthly prayer meetings. We used to have monthly prayer meetings up in the treehouse. But recently we've brought them into our Sunday services once a month to encourage more people to get involved. The style of our intercessions allows us to join in a bit more personally. And that's actually this week. So when Bridget prays later on, you'll notice there's kind of more of a gap for us to kind of pray what we want to in those particular themes. We aim to be back to a separate prayer meeting after Christmas. And we also have special prayer events. We had that walk in August, which was great fun. We've had breakfasts over the last couple of years. There are lots of ways we can pray together as we meet and share. And we share our lives together, verse 44 to 45. They didn't just share prayers, they shared their whole lives. All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Now, I guess this might sound a bit like communism, but it's quite the opposite. Communism is a program dictated from above. You must give up your possessions and put them into the general pile. But a loving church family has a spontaneous desire to help each other with our possessions. It's what loving families do, isn't it? And there are many examples going on in this church family, and we could always, obviously, do more. But maybe more relevantly for quite a few of us, we can be more ready to ask for help. Not just offering help, but asking for help. Not just putting up with our circumstances or grumbling to ourselves, but being ready to share our needs to help others have the joy of helping us. Visits, practical help, spending time talking with those who are suffering anxiety or bereavement. Someone once took out extra car insurance so that I could occasionally borrow their car because they knew I had a problem every now and then. But how would he have known to do that if I hadn't shared that problem that I had with him? It's about really knowing each other so that we can really care for each other. And not just the people we like, obviously, or the people we would naturally make friends with, but those in the church family we humanly might have little in common with, but we know that in Jesus, they are our true brothers and sisters. We meet to share our lives together. And church family news, which we had earlier on, I'd love to hear kind of spontaneous. If you have something to rejoice in, we do have it sometimes, or something to pray for, do flag it up. Flag it up with a person leading prayers. Flag it up in church family news. It's lovely and we rejoice to hear what difference God makes in our lives outside this building. We might get back to where I start asking particular people to come up and give a little testimony or something and to meet some of the new people as well. As a church family, we share lives together. And finally, for this section, they witness together and we witness together. So in verse 47 of chapter 2 of Acts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And that's an effect that the church family can have. It draws other people in. People want to find out what is going on there. They're sharing lives, they're praying for each other. There's such a feeling of love there across the generations, across different sorts of people. Church should never be a cozy clique. We want others to join us. And so we do church where people can see us as well. So five brief titles there from that little section of Acts 2. We learn God's ways together, we remember Christ's death together, we pray together, we share our lives together, and we witness together. Together. Do you remember that coal you saw earlier? It's a little picture, isn't it? As a coal gets separated from the rest of the fire, it goes cold so quickly. And we know, and you will almost certainly know from your Christian lives, if you separate yourself from Christian fellowship, if you're not meeting up with Christian friends, not hearing kind of God's word together or prayer lives or able to share together, we go cold. As God's family, we meet together, we stay hot. And we, one of those things was praying together.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at the 19th verse, and can be found on page 1208 of your pew Bibles. So chapter 10, starting at the 19th verse. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Liz. I should have mentioned earlier, so at the end of this second talk, there'll be a bit of time to discuss together and then a bit of time to bring questions or thoughts of experiences. It's a great chance to share our wisdom in the building. So do be scribbling things down if you want to use it that way. Have Hebrews 10 open and we'll look at that together now. So we've had our titles, various things that we do together. Great picture of what it means to be church family. All of those togethers. And all this is why the Bible urges us not to give up meeting together. Do you spot that in Hebrews 10? Do not give up meeting together. Being part of church is so, so important. A day is coming when Jesus will return and take all who love and trust in him to be part of his perfect kingdom forever. So the most important thing in life is to keep loving and trusting Jesus, looking ahead to that day. So there it was in that passage, we hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. That's what it means, that trusting and looking forward, we hold on to it, that certain hope of eternal life with Jesus. But if we have any chance to hold on to that, to focus on that, we need each other. We need to spur one another on. We need to spur one another on. Being a Christian is not like running a solo marathon. Claire Tracy ran a half marathon last week. Leslie and particularly Simon have done plenty of running. We know Bob Crittenton gets all over the place. A number of other of you do it as well. I see some of you practicing up and down outside my house, Anna, Richard. It's not like that. It's not a solo pursuit. It's more like being in a rowing crew. I don't know if you've ever done that, where you're all kind of facing the same direction. You need to time your rowing together, all pulling together in the same direction. That's what church life is like. We need to spur each other on. Because life can be tough and busy. Lots of things will make it hard for you to keep trusting Jesus. Maybe it's laughter from friends or colleagues. You don't believe in that stuff, do you? Or what you're taught at school or in your work context. Maybe it's doubts. Some aspect of the Christian faith that you feel you don't understand or conflicts with the culture around us, which for most of us is Western atheism and materialism. Or maybe it's temptations. Maybe for the sake of a relationship or having that particular good time, we want to just put our beliefs to one side for a moment. And all these things, they can tire us out, they can tangle us up, or they can tempt us away. The beginning of Hebrews 12 talks about that. These things that can tangle and trip and send you off in the wrong direction. So spurring is like that kick on the horse's side. I don't know if you've done horse riding. You kick and it leaps on to greater things, carrying you forward. I need spurring on from time to time. You need spurring on. So let's meet and continue to meet to spur each other on. So we need to make meeting together a priority. Meeting together as Christians should be our priority. Priority means coming first, because we need each other to spur one another on in our faith. So in our calendars, in our diaries, in Google app or whatever it is that you use, we should try to fit our social life around our church attendance and not the other way around. It's your choice. When will you work? When you have your kids at clubs? When you do kind of your family commitments? When will you take holidays? When you get the shopping delivered? It's your choice. There will be clashes. It isn't the law that you have to be at church every week to be a Christian. I do keep a sort of register, but it's not to tick you off. It's more to notice who is missing and who I need to catch up with. But it's a danger to miss Christian fellowship, spurring us on. And it is true that making Jesus' church family a priority is a mark of following Jesus. Making meeting together a priority does us good, and it also helps us to do others good. Do you remember Bobber Job Week? I was remembering this. It was quite a long time ago now, but as a cub, there was something called Bobber Job Week. I don't even know what a bob is, but some of you will know. Was it sixpence? Two lots? Huh? A shilling. Is that 2 sixpences? In fake, weird money? Excellent. Well, Bobber Job Week, as I remember in Cubs, I'm not old enough to have sixpences, but it was a week where you went out and did people lots of goods. I don't know if you remember, you got a badge and you tried to kind of think of good jobs to do, useful tasks, usually in the home, but also maybe out and about. And you might have heard, if you lived in those sorts of times, you might have heard of that dear old lady who'd been helped across several roads that she hadn't really wanted to cross in the first place because of the helpfulness of all those young people. And it's a silly story, isn't it? But we don't want to be doing that. We don't want to be helping people in ways that they don't want to be helped. So in what ways are we to spur one another on? Well, these verses in Hebrews 10, they tell us, well, consider how we can spur each other on. And we can't do that unless we know about each other's lives and the challenges each of us is facing. We all have different things going on, and we need to know about it. So how can you be getting to know others so you can be spurring on your Christian friends? And when we think church, what do you think of as we finish and go into a discussion? It might be helpful to be clear what we mean by church again and also think about certain things we might hang over. So there's a lovely table there in your booklets which might help. We'll just quickly run through what I mean by those. If we think of church as a building, if that's primarily what it is, then we will get fixated on the decoration, the facilities, how it looks and how it works. And that certainly happens in some churches. If we think of church as the meeting, so churches, 10:30 to 11:30 going on to 12 on a Sunday morning and that's it, then we'll get distracted by the style of the service. Was the music what I like? And probably leave as soon as it finishes. If we think of church as a religious duty, it's what I ought to do as a Christian, then we'll focus on ourselves instead of others. Am I doing all the right things? Right, I'm done and dusted for the week. But if we think of church as a family to belong to, so remember the pictures? We are the people of Jesus, the people of God gathered, and we meet together. That's what church is. It's a gathering of people. If we think of church as family we belong to, well, we'll be wanting to grow relationships and be truly committed to each other, the family God has adopted us into. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. I gave you 90 seconds last week, and apparently that wasn't quite long enough. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes, which is 2 verses of this song, just to be, if you're willing, chatting to those near you. If you're unwilling, then just chat to yourself. Do what it is that you feel comfortable with. Think about what we've been talking about, how important it is to meet together. And any of these thoughts, what does church feel like most to you out of those titles? What difference does it mean to see church as a family that you belong to? Are there any things that particularly stop you from coming to church? Or maybe why being irregular at church is such a problem? Or anything else on this theme that you can think of? So I'll play some music because I think it helps to have something going on in the background. And then I'll bring us back in 2 minutes. So, any thoughts, suggestions, bits of wisdom that we can all benefit from? Questions? I've got the mic, so I'll pretend not to hear anything that's too hard. So that it can take time to realise that this is about a church family. So she found being new, it takes time. It helped to be on courses. Ting! So next time I ask you to be on a course. She's not quite accusing you of being nutters, but there's the elements of who are these people? Why are they so friendly? Why are they talking to me? So yeah, I think we learn it. And that's why we're having this series as well. It's good to remind ourselves exactly what we're about. Was that a good summary? Any other thoughts, questions? Great. Okay. And while I went to get one and then I lost it again. Yes. While we're on this zone, someone asked me about kind of further reading about this sort of thing. So there's a book here called Love Your Church. Obviously, lots of churches coming back out of sort of lockdown and Zoom and things like that. So there's a lot of thought about this. So this is a good book. It covers the same sorts of things in a slightly different way. It's on my new shiny bookstall. It's £5, but if you can't afford that, let me know. Just stick it in the collection, or you can scan it in, or however you want to do it. But that's a book to read further if you want to think more about kind of church life, and what it means as we live and work these things out together.